This is Dr. Tina Webb, and you are listening to the Coping Season Podcast, the show that discusses mental and emotional wellness to help Black men and Black women begin to heal and cope with the effects of emotional distress. Although I am a licensed clinical social worker, please note that this podcast is not meant to be used as a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist. Get ready to laugh, think, and be entertained. It's time to cope. Let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm so glad to be back with you all today on another Wednesday. Unfortunately, this week has just been filled with tragedies. It's been horrifying, just very horrific this week. And I know a lot of you are tired, just like I am, mentally tired, emotionally tired, tired of all the loss, all of the death, all of the murder that is happening in our community. We are the only group of people who have to continuously watch ourselves be murdered over and over on social media, on the TV, every single day, in person. And it's just tiring. We're tired. And if you don't know what I'm speaking of, this week, another young 20-year-old black man named Deontay Wright was murdered by the police during a traffic stop. The woman who shot him, the officer, was a 26-year-old veteran of the police department, and she said that it was an accident. She thought that she had her taser, but she had a gun in her hand. It was all recorded once again for us to watch. The horror of hearing him, he's calling his mama during the stop. He's being stopped in a car that she just bought for him 2 weeks ago. I just feel sick to my stomach because Deontay Wright should be alive today. He's 20 years old. And when I hear these stories, when I see these videos, my heart just sinks to the bottom of my stomach. And I feel like, because I have a 19-year-old son, and it's so easy for me to put myself in that position. I feel traumatized. We all do as a community. We feel traumatized and we relive some of the moments that have happened to us, to people in our lives, to other incidents that's happened. And it's just trauma on top of trauma on top of trauma. And now in this young guy, Deontay, he has a 1-year-old child or a small child. And now that is another child that is going to grow up without their father due to something that could have been prevented. They're trying to say it was an accident. Accident or not, it was unacceptable. It was negligence. It was carelessness. It was murder. And we are tired. We are angry. We are in pain. I will never accept that kind of accident. This young boy, Deontay, is never coming back. He is never coming back to see his parents, never coming back to see his child, never coming back to reach his dreams and his goals and become his full potential of who God put him on this earth to be. I'm tired. I'm tired of it. And then also on top of that, we still haven't gotten justice for George Floyd, for the murder of George Floyd that also happened in the same state that Deontay was murdered in, Minnesota. And the trial for this officer who put his knee on the neck of George Floyd until he died is happening right now in Minnesota, just a few miles from where Deontay was murdered. Are we asking for too much? The request is simple. Stop killing us. It's just been trauma on top of trauma, horror on top of horror, tragedy on top of tragedy. Also this week, we witnessed a Black Army officer, a Black man, lieutenant, in his Army uniform, being pulled over in a traffic stop and being pepper sprayed with guns being drawn on him, being thrown to the ground, excessive force being used, not answering his questions of why are you doing this? Why are you stopping me? Anything. They just continue to violate him and his rights and record it as if they are doing nothing wrong. When everything was wrong, illegal search and seizure, illegal detainment, violating his First Amendment rights of free speech. They assaulted him, battery, false imprisonment, all of these things, excessive force, illegal search. This has to stop. I know y'all tired. I'm tired. We are all tired. And then on top of all of this, DMX passed away. You know, we were praying for him last week, talking about how he was in the hospital. And he didn't make it. So that's just very heartbreaking. Like I mentioned before, DMX is one of my favorite rappers, just personality of all time. And to hear that he passed away is just very heartbreaking. And, you know, we did that episode in January about DMX, and you just never know about life. Who knew that 3 months later he would be deceased? All we can do is just keep his family and his fans and his friends and everyone who loved him all around the world. Just keep them in our prayers, you know, and pray for his children. You know, I watched a clip from Wendy Williams from earlier this year, and DMX was on her show, and he had his little son with him. I think he has a 3-year-old, and he picked him up, put him on his lap, and he was saying, "This is my miracle baby," and kept kissing on his son, and he was smiling. And, you know, DMX was funny and just, you know, just a joy. And it's so tragic and just so sad. I'm just thankful that he lived his dream. He left us so much great music, so many movies, so many ways to remember him. And I'm just so glad that I had a chance to watch him and Snoop Dogg do that Versus last year. It was really great to see DMX. He was really funny and, you know, just like I said, a joy. And he will definitely be missed in this world. You know, I watched a video of DMX. A lot of videos have been going around, a lot of photos on social media. And I saw a video of him on a podcast. And he said, "If I was to drop dead right now, my last thought would be, I lived a good life. There will never be another Dark Man X. We love you, DMX. Rest in peace. X gonna give it to you." And on that note, we got a lot to talk about. So let's just get right into it. How many of y'all love DJ Mustard? And if you don't know who DJ Mustard is, he is a very, very successful and talented music producer. He has produced so much great music for us. Do y'all remember this song? Mustard on a beat. Oh, I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. Pull up to the scene with my ceiling missing. Pull up to the scene with my ceiling missing. Pull up to the scene with my roof gone. Now that's 2 Chainz rapping, but that's Mustard on a beat. Hope. So DJ Mustard is very famous, very rich, and he has a personal shopper, this woman named Carissa. He hired her as a personal shopper. She would go shopping for him and his wife, but he let her go ahead and use the title of stylist, even though she's not a stylist, but I guess she was going around telling people that she was DJ Mustard's stylist, but really she just goes shopping for him. So come to find out, she's been stealing from him. She has been running up DJ Mustard's credit cards, acting like she's going shopping for him, but she's been throwing stuff on there for her. He found out that she charged $50,000 to his credit card, and it could have been more than that. He's still trying to go through everything. He found one receipt, and I guess he confronted her about it. And when he confronted her, she was like asking him, "Well, can we hop on a phone call? Can you call me?" And he's like, "Call you?" And she's like, "You know, this is nobody else's fault. This is just me. It's my wrongdoings. I did wrong." And he was saying, like, "You really ran up my credit card. You have really lost your mind," basically. And she was just saying, "I'm so sorry. I'm truly so sorry. You know, it should have never got to this point. My temptation ran to greed, and I'm just so sorry." And he's just like, "Wow, you really messed up." And he put this all on social media. He put like the text messages that she sent, and she ran up like $15,000 in the Louis Vuitton store just on herself. And the cold part about it is that he was paying her a salary. He paid her $6,000 a month. So that's $72,000 a year just to shop for him. Not to style him, not to do anything, but just to shop. And he's saying that she messed up this great opportunity with him, this great income just for shopping, y'all. If he's looking for somebody to shop for him, he can contact me. You know, I know that's a dream job of my mother. She probably would love to do something like that. I might need to reach out to DJ Mustard. He can give that $6,000 a month to my mother. She would love to go shopping for him and his wife. And according to DJ Mustard, Carissa, his personal shopper, she did all of this so that she can floss on Instagram, so she can get likes on Instagram, so she can show herself with all of this, like she's balling, she got all this money, and just perpetrating, saying that she's his stylist and all this stuff, just so she can get likes on Instagram. She pretty much stole over $100,000 from him, and she spent it on clothes, shoes, and bags, purses, y'all. I really hope it was worth it, because it sounds like you fumbled the bag, sis. On today's segment of Ask Dr. Tina, I want to read something that DJ Mustard said regarding the incident. He stated, and I quote, Attention to all my people who know me. I want to bring something to everyone's attention. Carissa C. Walker is a thief and a liar. She is not my stylist. She was a personal shopper for me and Chanel Dijon, which is his wife. We let her use the stylist word so she could get business. But the truth is, she did nothing but shop. Today, I found out that she ran my credit cards up over $50K buying stuff for herself, purses, shoes, shades, and other stuff. I'm hot, and I'm only writing this so nobody else deals with her. She's bad for business. I have all the receipts to prove everything. I paid her more than she was worth because I don't play with taking care of people that do their jobs. This is effing crazy and just wrong. This could well be over 100K. All for effing Instagram? Mind you, she gets paid $6K a month to shop. That's $72K a year. You just messed that up for some effing Instagram likes? And that's what DJ Mustard had to say. Whew, like I said, I hope it was worth it to her because that's a lot of money just to give up, just to be taking pictures and flossing on Instagram. And she's not the only one doing it. People are renting out Airbnbs. They are renting mansions to try to prove that they're living that life. They're renting hotel rooms, luxury cars, flashing money like they got it like that when they know it's their rent money and their car note and all the stuff that they have to pay. But they're flashing money and holding it up to their ear. They're taking out loans to go on vacation so that they can post pictures like they're traveling the world and they're doing all of these great, amazing things. Posting themselves, taking picture after picture with expensive name brand clothes and purses and shoes and bags. And they're doing just about anything and everything to get attention, to get likes, to get followers, to get adoration, to get validation. And it's become somewhat of a drug, somewhat of a mental illness. So on today's episode, I want to talk about the psychology of likes on social media. We are living in a time of technology like never before. People would rather be social on social media. They'd rather look at their phone, scroll through Instagram photos, scroll through Facebook posts, Snapchat, TikTok, and whatever other social clubhouse. And we would rather engage with each other on a social platform rather than engage with each other in person and face to face, have a meeting, face to face, do an activity or have a conversation. It's all about social media. And even when we are face to face with people, we can be at a restaurant and you look around and everybody is on their phone. People are taking pictures of their food. They're posting it. They're trying to think of a good caption. They're checking their phone back to back to see how many likes did I get? Who saw it already? Did somebody leave a comment? And we feed into it. We do it with our outfit. Take my picture, girl. We're posting it right away. We're doing all this editing to make you look good, to make you look slim, to make you look beautiful, put in filters. And then you keep checking your phone. How many people liked it? How many people did it get in the hands of? Okay, how many comments did I get? And people do this all day long, all day, every day. There is a psychology behind it. Social media affects our brain. It's like a drug. There are chemicals that are being released in our brain when we get likes on social media, when we get comments, when we're searching for these things. It's an addiction, just like with drug addiction, just like with gambling addictions, or not even having an addiction. You know, when we gamble, like say you win some money on a slot machine, or you win on a lotto ticket, or you eat chocolate, and you get this feeling, this rush, and it's like this good feeling that comes over you and you like it and you want it to keep coming. So you're going to keep doing the behavior. You're going to keep posting content that you see that people like, that gets you a lot of likes and a lot of attention. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing weird about wanting attention or craving attention, but just know that attention online is a different feeling sometimes from the attention that we receive in person with someone. Because when you're online and you're doing this virtual environment, you can create the life that you want. You can become whoever you want and present that to the world, to a lot of people. And what's different online is that you get followers. In real life, you know, you can do great things and you're doing great things at work, but no one is going to follow you. They're not going to follow you all around and like, oh my gosh, you are just so amazing at work. You're so funny. I'm going to follow you and follow you throughout your life and see what you do next and see when you go to your mother's house. And oh, I want to see how you interact in all of these ways because I just love you so much. Oh, I would love to see how you're shopping. Online, people can do that. You can have millions of people just watching your day-to-day life, and they're giving you all of this adoration. You're so amazing. Oh my gosh, you put that outfit together so good. Oh, you just showed us how you went on this shopping trip. This is just awesome. And so it's different. It's different from the approval and the validation that we get in our everyday life. And so the reason why a like, when people get a like on social media, the reason why it feels good is because it gives them a high. It gives you a psychological high. It's something that is really happening inside a person's body. It actually happens in the brain. And that's why we keep going back. We keep going on social media, trying to post more content, trying to go and buy more things. Okay, I got to push the envelope some more. I'm going to need to put some Birkin bags on here because they seen the Louis Vuittons. So now I need to take it up another level. And unfortunately, in the case of DJ Mustard's shopper, I guess that's what happened with her. She had to keep pushing the envelope and had to keep buying new, fresh things because now you got followers, you got people looking at you, and she's feeling this high that's coming from it possibly. And the high that I'm talking about is dopamine. Dopamine is a hormone. You get a little bit that releases every time you get a like, or you get a positive comment or a compliment or something online. And then when that happens, it triggers this reward cycle. So you post something and then the reward is getting the likes, getting the comment. And then in turn, you feel good. It builds a person's self-esteem. It makes them feel more confident. It makes them feel happy. And who doesn't want to feel those things? We all do. We all want to feel happy and confident and feel good about ourselves. And many people have found a way to do that by being fake on social media, by putting things on there and pretending to have this life and a lifestyle that doesn't really exist. But yet in turn, it makes them feel good about themselves. When someone gets a like on social media, it triggers the reward cycle. The more you get, the more you want it, and then the more you will do to get it. And that's why you see people on social media, and they might have started out like wearing like little short shorts. Then they've graduated to wearing lingerie. Now they're posting nude pictures of themselves. The more likes they get, the more they want them, and the more risque they will become in order to get it, to get more and more and more. It's just so interesting. And there was a study that was done about this too. There was a study done before, and they said like the same brain circuits that get activated when we eat chocolate or when we win money, those are the same brain circuits that get activated when you get social media likes or when you see a large number of social media likes. And in that same study, you know, they also found that, like, say when you're on social media, you're scrolling and you're looking at stuff. If you happen to see a lot of likes on a stranger's post, then you're more likely to engage with that person's what they posted. It's kind of we follow the crowd. Oh, a lot of people like this. Let me see what it's about. Oh, you know what? Let me go ahead and leave a comment, too. So there's some psychology behind it. And then, you know, there are some people, if they don't get a lot of likes on a post, like say they have posts that they put up like pictures and they got like 200 likes. And then they have one picture where they only got 5 likes. They're likely to delete the picture with 5 likes just because it didn't have enough likes. It gets deep, and it can also get dangerous because, you know, sometimes people on social media, okay, you'll follow a certain person, and then after a while, you feel like you know them and you don't know them at all. And you start to look at their opinions and the things that they say, and you start to look at it as fact, and you start to refer the person to other people. Have you heard about this person? Oh, you need to listen to them, and they be speaking facts. And sometimes it's not, it's just opinion. And then they turn around and you feel betrayed, like with Derek Jackson and what happened with him. And I'm just mentioning him because he was the most recent person that we know of who pretty much pretended to be something that he wasn't. But he is not the only one. It's happening all day, every day, all at the palm of your hands, on your cell phone, on social media. You know people in your family. You know what their life is really like, but you see their social media persona. And it's like, oh my goodness, they are really out here selling a dream, perpetrating with this whole persona that's not even them. And the reason why that happens is because after a while, when somebody starts to get a lot of likes, a lot of followers, they start to feel more valued. They feel like people like them and they want to be liked. They care about what people think about them, how people see them. And so they start to need that approval, that validation, and it boosts their self-esteem. That's why getting likes and comments on social media is so important to people. It makes them feel appreciated and important and validated, and in many cases, famous, Instagram fame. Influencers is what they call them. And that's just another way for people to feel powerful. Now they feel like they have power. They have influence over others. People value what I have to say and what I bring to the table. And it may fill a void that they have in their personal lives. Either way, it serves a purpose. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying social media is bad, because it's not. Social media is a benefit to a lot of people. It helps people who are lonely, people who are suicidal. It's a sense of community. And so it's a place where people can go and they can find relationships and motivation and life hacks and cooking recipes and just community. So it does. It prevents loneliness. People would be isolated, completely isolated, if there was no social media, if there was no internet. So social media is definitely a great invention. It's a great thing to have for us to all be a part of and share with each other. But it can be dangerous in the fact that it can affect our mental health. It can affect our emotional well-being, our self-esteem, especially when people are comparing themselves to what they see on social media. They're comparing themselves to the lives and to the relationships that other people have. And they're looking at their own situation and feeling like they're not enough, that they're not doing enough, and they're not important, and they're not living a great life. And what am I doing wrong? People start to feel like they're left behind. I'm being left behind. Other people are getting ahead, but I'm not. I see it on social media all the time. People put on the comments, "Oh Lord, I see what you're doing for others. Please bless me. Oh Lord, why not me? Why can't I have a man like hers? Why can't I have a house like theirs? Why can't I have a business like them? Why can't I have all this money? Why can't I be happy like her? Why can't I go on trips like them on a girl's trip?" And some of this stuff is staged. You know, people stage all kinds of things on social media. Marriage proposals, they stage like vacations. They are on a family vacation with like their mother and grandparents and all these people probably. But they're only going to show pictures of them on jet skis and doing all this stuff. And maybe they're surrounded by people by the bar. Like, you won't see the full story. You see what they want you to see. And the dangerous part in social media is when you don't realize that and you get caught up in the comparing, in the feeling like you have low self-esteem, you don't have confidence, or you're relying on social media to help you overcome your insecurities. And you know, as the saying goes, what goes up must come down. So people feel high. They get this high. They get that dopamine rush because of social media. But just as high as you can go with that feeling of likes and comments and being popular and having followers, social media can also make people feel very, very low. People experience a lot of depression, anxiety, paranoia, narcissism, and just like a whole bunch of other mental health conditions. We have trained ourselves psychologically to depend on positive reinforcements that come from social media, from the online community. So it's important that you recognize that. And when we have these positive reinforcements, that's what has an impact on our mood. And when our mood is affected, that's when our behavior changes. So with DJ Mustard Stylist, at some point she became a stylist. Okay, cool. She was happy. Everything was all good. She starts posting things. She starts posting probably about DJ Mustard. That got her popular. People want to see, well, what does his stylist look like? So now she has to play the role. So her behavior, she's starting to feel good. Oh my gosh, I'm getting all these likes. So now her behavior is to get more and more and more. And that led her to steal from DJ Mustard so that she can keep up her social media image. And that's sad, because she just gave up an income, an annual income, just so that she can floss on social media. Now your annual income of that large amount just for shopping for somebody is gone. And that's the case for a lot of people on social media. A lot of people on social media aren't making money off of what they're doing. They're doing it because they're trying to build something possibly, but then they also like the feeling that they get as a result of being popular or people liking them. So it's all an illusion. Now there are people that are actually making money on social media. There's a lot of money going around on social media, a lot of business that people are doing. But for the most part, a lot of people are not making money on social media. And they have 9-to-5 jobs, or they're working wherever they're working. But when you see them on social media, they're not posting anything about having a job. It just looks like they are just this jet setters, traveling the world, trendsetters, doing all of these great things and this life that is not their real life. They still got to get up and go to work, just like most of us do. But another benefit of social media is that it can create opportunities. Yeah, they have to get up and go to work. Maybe creating this persona and this new person that they are is building their self-esteem and building their confidence. And that's causing them to exude, you know, a certain energy, and things are coming in their path. Maybe it gives them an opportunity. It creates an opportunity for them to manifest their dreams, and things will happen for them. So there is opportunity. But for some, likes and followers and comments can be dangerous for some people if they do not use social media safely. Let me tell you how. You know what time it is. It's time to cope. It's time to pull out our coping toolboxes. I'm going to give us some tools to toss in there today to help us cope with social media likes. Remember, we are going to be building this coping toolbox every time that we're together so that we can keep everything that we need that can help calm us during times of distress and help us to express how we feel in healthy ways. The first thing that's important to do is just be real and honest with yourself. Turn inward and look inside yourself and recognize how you're feeling. Do you feel vulnerable? Do you feel insecure? Do you feel like you have low self-esteem and that's causing you to feel depressed, or you're having other issues? Recognize when you're on social media and social media might be causing a problem because of where you are. If you're having a negative impact on your mental health, on your physical health, on your emotional well-being as a result of being on social media too much, comparing yourself to other people, feeling sad or feeling upset when you do get off of social media, pay attention to how you feel. Pay attention to your behavior. Do you feel like you have to present and create this whole image of yourself that's not true in order to feel acceptance, to feel validated or important? Pay attention to how you feel and what's going on. If you're feeling vulnerable and you're spending too much time on social media, then don't be scared to take a break. Take a break, deactivate social media if you want to, or just choose times of the day when you will go on. Don't be on there all the time, and take some time to do other stuff in your life. What are other things that you used to enjoy before you spent so much time on social media? Did you like to go walking at the beach? Go do that. Do some exercise. You know, you can read a book, listen to an audiobook, listen to a podcast, go visit a friend, go take yourself out to dinner. You know, do something different. There are many ways to feel that rush of dopamine and to feel good and to build our self-esteem. Just remember that when we do things that make us feel good, we trigger our pleasure center. And when our pleasure center in the brain is triggered, that's when we get that release of dopamine. So there are a lot of things that we can do in order to get that dose of dopamine. And just remember, dopamine is released when our brain is expecting a reward. And it could be food, it could be sex or shopping or anything else that you enjoy, exercise, whatever you enjoy. Sometimes if you associate like a certain activity with pleasure, for example, like say someone comes home from work and their partner has a candlelit dinner in the kitchen waiting for them. Normally, when they get that candlelit dinner, they know that they're going to have an intimate night. They know that they're going to have sex maybe after. So just seeing the candlelit dinner, that's already associated with pleasure. A person will automatically get a release of dopamine just because of the anticipation of what's to come. Or for example, let's say a person had a rough day at work. They feel frustrated or angry or sad or whatever emotion they're feeling. And so after work, they go to the grocery store and they happen to go down the ice cream aisle. And ice cream might be their comfort food. So when they see the ice creams and all the different flavors, they are having an increase of the dopamine. So they buy an ice cream, they take it home, and then when they eat the ice cream, there is going to be a flood of dopamine that happens because they've associated eating ice cream with feeling good, with something pleasurable. So now that's going to satisfy their craving. They feel a little better, and their brain is going to start to associate ice cream with them feeling better. That's their comfort food. That's a pleasurable activity. But I also want you to keep in mind that it's important to not have too much stimulation. You don't want to have too much dopamine being rushed into your brain, or you don't want to have too little because it leads to other health issues like depression and addiction or Parkinson's disease, schizophrenia, you know, bipolar disorder, ADHD, OCD, binge eating, and many other conditions. I just want to also reiterate, if you notice that you're spending a lot of time on social media, like an excessive amount of time, and you're starting to feel like dissatisfaction with your life, frustrated, you feel lonely, you feel sad, then you may need to examine your online habits. Like, how long are you staying on? When do you start to feel this way? And then start to make some changes just so that you can have a healthier balance. If you're feeling suicidal or you're having urges to harm yourself in any way, please call 911 or go seek a therapist and talk to someone about what you're going through. You can also call the 1-800 Suicide Prevention Hotline. And the number is 1-800-273-8255, 1-800-273-8255. Help is available right now. You can call 24 hours a day. They have all the languages, English, Spanish, whatever you might need. Please don't be afraid to call them if you need them. I also want you to keep in mind that even though we might look at a picture on social media and we can tell that there's a filter on it or the photo has been manipulated or changed or altered in some way to make it look more appealing, that can still make a person feel insecure and feel inadequate about how they look and about their life. Even when we know what we're seeing isn't real, people will still feel envious. They will feel dissatisfied. They will compare themselves. They will still be affected by what they see. They might see somebody on there saying, oh, I just bought my dream house, or I just got a promotion at my job. And people still will become envious of it, even though it may not be true and they may know it's not true. When that happens, it's important to just remember that people are not going to show you the low points of their life. They're not going to show you the negative things in their life. Some people do. Most people do not. So you're always going to see just the highlights. Sometimes, like I said, it can be staged. It cannot be real. So it's important to focus on your own life, to focus on what you have going on, and not compare yourself and feel insecure about how you look or what you got going on in your life because you're comparing your normal life to this social media persona that a person might have that's not real. Stay in reality and focus on what you have going on. Some people also have this fear that they're going to miss out on something. They're on social media and they're on there for a long amount of time because they feel like they're going to miss something. Something is going to happen on there that they're not the first to see or to know about. And for some reason, people start to feel on social media these feelings that other people are having more fun than them. Other people are living a better life than them. And that's called FOMO, F-O-M-O, fear of missing out. And when people start to have this feeling that they're missing out on something, that other people have this secret to life that they don't know about, and they're doing all these great things that they're not, that's when people start to feel a lot of anxiety when they use social media. They start to have self-esteem issues. That's when people constantly keep picking up their phone, checking social media, scrolling through, seeing what's going on. It becomes like a compulsion. They have to respond to stuff that's happening. Oh, someone left a comment. Let me respond back right away. Oh, someone liked my picture. Oh, someone posted something. Let me put a response on theirs. You know, and that leads people to taking risks. That's why people will be driving their car. They're reaching for their phone. They're looking at social media. They're looking at the alerts that pop up. Somebody just commented on your post and you have to check it right away. People will lose out and miss out on sleep at night, stay up all night long when they know they have to go to work the next morning, but they're scrolling through social media. They might be up late posting videos, making content and things to post online. And some people will have this fear that they're missing out on something on social media that they don't even enjoy their real lives. They might have brothers and sisters who are trying to get their attention and they're like, okay, stop it. I'm on here right now. I'm doing something. And they're not paying attention to their siblings, or they have a husband. They're not paying any attention to nurturing that relationship that's right in front of them, or they have children, or they have a mother who's calling them and they're like, okay, I'll call you back later. I'm on social media. I'm doing something right now. You know, people can't enjoy the relationship in the real world. They would rather make social media relationships or social media a priority. And when that happens, that's something to look at. Pay attention to if you're doing that. And you might need to make some changes if you're starting to feel insecure or you're feeling like you're missing out on something that's happening on social media. Lastly, just remember to take time for self-reflection, to focus on you, to be grateful, practice gratitude, keep a gratitude journal, or you can use an app, create great memories in your personal life, spend more time with people who you love and people who love you and genuinely care for you. If you don't have people in your life like that, you can join a club, you can join a gym, or you can make new connections. You know, maybe there's somebody friendly at work that you can talk to sometimes on your lunch break. Or if you're at Starbucks and you meet someone, or at the grocery store, it's not going to hurt you to smile and say hello to someone. That might make you feel better. And you never know what can come from it. But also too, you know, my mama always said, you can't smile at every person that you meet. And especially these days, you know, you want to listen to your gut and pay attention to what your intuition is telling you. Because sometimes we can be smiling at the wrong person, and who knows what they'll do to us or what's in their mind. So just use caution and practice good judgment. And also know the red flags and the signs of a sociopath, somebody with antisocial personality disorder, because they're going to be smiling and be friendly, and they're going to mimic everything that you're doing. And you're going to feel like, oh, I really met a good friend, or I met my soulmate. No, follow your gut. Know those red flags so that you don't have the wrong person coming into your space. And if you want to try something new, if you're thinking about weaning yourself away from social media for a while, try using it 30 minutes a day. There was a study done in 2018 from the University of Pennsylvania where they said using social media for 30 minutes a day, it can help to reduce the depression, anxiety, loneliness, sleep problems, and the feeling that you're missing out on something. You can even download an app on your phone and it will tell you how long you spend on social media each day. And then you can set a goal on how to reduce spending that much time on social media. You can also choose to turn off your phone at certain times of the day. Like, okay, I'm at work right now, so I'm not going to be on the phone. I'm at the gym, so I turn my phone off during that time. I'm eating dinner, I'm not going to be on the phone. You know, if you're driving, if you're spending time with your family and doing something, you can, you know, not be on social media, or you can not take the phone with you in the bathroom. There's different things that you can do if you want to limit your use of social media. And also too, don't lay in your bed and be on your phone or on your tablet. Turn them off, put them in another room, let them charge somewhere else so that you can get the sleep that you need without having this feeling of and hearing dings, you know, from notifications or seeing the light up on your phone. Because sometimes you can still sense that light is lighting up, or you can see a little bit of it even when your eyes are closed. So you can also disable the social media notifications. Maybe turn off notifications so that you don't have to hear all those dings or the buzzing or the beeping. All of those alerts have conditioned you to like grab your phone, to keep checking it. So if you want to recondition yourself or recondition your brain and change your behavior, then that might be the first thing that you can do, is just disable the social media notifications. And then that can help you to manage your time better and just be more focused, because you're not constantly seeing the alerts. Something else you can do is just try to limit the amount of time that you check your phone. Like, instead of keep picking it up, checking it every few minutes, then maybe check it like once every 15 minutes, once every 30 minutes, and then you can build yourself up to checking it like once an hour or something like that. It just depends on you. These are just tips and tools. I know some people use social media for their business, so they have to be on there all the time, but many of us don't. So if you want to, and I'm just saying this, if you feel insecure, if you're feeling lonely, you feel sadness, you feel like you're on social media too much, you're not getting anything done, that's time that you could be building your business, or make important phone calls, or just write down your goals, or have time to meditate, or just do the things that you've been putting off or that you haven't had time to do and that you can't stay focused on. Something else that you can do, and this is kind of drastic, but it's up to you. You can take away Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, remove those apps from your phone. If you have a tablet, only check social media on your tablet, or only do it on your computer, on your laptop. And just remember, these are only suggestions, just some tips and tools that you can add to your coping toolbox. And on that note, that's all the tools that I got. Go ahead and put that coping toolbox away, y'all. It's time for one of my favorite parts of the show, movie therapy, music therapy. I would like to dedicate today's episode to the song called Fake Love by Drake. And the song says, I've been down so long, it look like up to me. They look up to me. I got fake people showing fake love to me, straight up to my face, straight up to my face. Something ain't right when we talking. Something ain't right when we talking. Look like you hiding your problems. Really, you never was solid. No, you can't shun me. You won't ever get to run me. Just when shit look out of reach, I reach back like 1-3, like 1-3. Yeah. And that's when they smile in my face. Whole time they wanna take my place. Whole time they wanna take my place. Whole time they wanna take my place. Yeah, I know they wanna take my place. I can tell that love is fake. I believe that. I receive that. And I mean that. It's coping season, y'all. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope you all enjoyed this episode. You are not only listeners, you are my co-hosts. And we are a community. And I would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your stories, experiences, and thoughts related to life issues, topics you'd like to hear discussed, or questions you'd like answered. Please visit me on the web at drtinaweb.com and click on Ask Dr. Tina to submit your questions, thoughts, and more. Tune in every Wednesday to hear my response. You can also check out the show notes as well as other contact information on the website. In the meantime and in between time, for additional updates, conversations, and more ways to interact, please connect with me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Dr. Tina Webb. That's DrTinaWebb. Feel free to share your thoughts from the show on social media using the hashtag Coping Season Podcast. Lastly, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you are listening to help others find the show and learn to cope just like you. I appreciate and read every single review. Thank you so much for listening to the show and for spreading the word to all of your friends, family, and coworkers. I so appreciate it. Thank you, and I'll see you next week.